Well, among the many things that have happened this past football season has been the emergence of Tim Tebow as both an athletic image as well as one that's pretty prominent with regard to religion and culture. Tim Tebow is the latest in a string of prominent professional athletes who spend some of their time talking about their faith, talking about their relationship with God and Jesus, and how important, for example, the Bible is to who they are and what they do. Which, to me, begs another question. You know, if athletes and other prominent people spend time talking about the Bible, what is it that the Bible has to say to or about sports and athletics? Not much, with one exception, it seems. First letter of Paul to the Corinthian church, chapter 9, closes with these words, a kind of metaphor. Paul says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run, that you may obtain it." All the runners compete, all the football runners compete, and only one attains the prize. 2 weeks from today, we'll know who the one Super Bowl champion is for this year. Already we know it's not the Texans, and it's not the Green Bay Packers either. Only one attains the prize. Well, how literally are we to take this notion, especially when we understand the prize not to be the Super Bowl, but salvation? Metaphorically, he is probably talking about that, because he talks about little else. Is it only one that gets it? Well, maybe one group, you know. It's certainly true that from time to time we think about, you know, we got to get in the race, we got to run, we got to beat the Baptists anyway. The Baptists have to beat the Catholics. Catholics certainly want to beat the Mormons, and everybody wants to beat the Muslims these days to get that prize. And yet it doesn't say one group or one people or one denomination. It says one. One attains the prize. And I understand that to mean the one is Jesus. In other words, the prize has already been attained. Salvation has been accomplished. What does that leave us to do? He tells us, run that you may obtain it. In other words, run along. Run along. Get in the game. The ending is certain, but there is a life to live and a meantime to share and ways of relating, work to do, people to enjoy. We were born into a family, we acquire friends, we begin to perceive what God would like us to do with our lives, and it's the day-to-day decision-making and relationship building that we have to control. The salvation part is out of our hands, so let's not spend time worrying much about it. The prize has been obtained. Let's spend more time worrying about relationships, interaction, playing the game, running along. Well, in keeping with the notion of metaphor, I started thinking, especially since the Packers lost last week, I started thinking about the baseball season, which is just around the corner. And one of the things that I enjoy as baseball season begins is watching the Texas Tech baseball team play. It's kind of like watching at least high A-level minor league play, which is quite good. Among the many other reasons to watch Texas Tech baseball are the Tech hecklers. It's a group of guys that sit along the first base side, right along the dugout where the opposing team plays, and they heckle them. What's intriguing about that, and heckling is a part of baseball for as long as it's been, heckling is a part of most relationships. We tease each other, and it's heckling when Bud and I do our little Laurel and Hardy act up here in front. Part of what makes life enjoyable. But there are rules. The lead heckler at Texas Tech has actually written a book called The Bleacher Bible, and in it he has the Ten Commandments of heckling, which I think metaphorically are, in some ways, good things to keep in mind as you relate to other people, even in a humorous way. Commandment number one, thou shalt not use profanity. Well, duh. Thou shalt not insult the mother. In other words, you know where the juggler is, stay away from it. This should be obvious what good would come from saying something in that way. Commandment three, thou shalt be intelligent. You can't fix stupid. So be intelligent. Learn the game. Thou shalt love baseball. Well, of course, even to the exclusion of other sports. One of the most amusing things, and it's legendary, that the Tech hecklers ever did was a fellow was playing baseball for the University of Texas and was also on the football team. And was not drafted. The lead heckler had his cell phone ring while the guy was at bat. Hello? Hey, Joe, or whatever his name was. It's the San Francisco 49ers. They don't want you. Next time up to bat. It's the Chiefs. They don't want you either. Thou shalt love baseball. Thou shalt be intelligent. Commandment number 6, thou shalt be witty. Was that not funny? Commandment 7, thou shalt not overkill. This is a good one. If somebody does something funny in the first inning, you should not keep ragging on it in the fifth. The more you say something, the less effective it becomes. You starting to see how these things become a metaphor for relating to people? Commandment number 8, thou shalt be friendly. There is a line between friendly competition and war. Watch it. Thou shalt not cross the line. The line is the line, he says, of brutality. Look, the players know that heckling is part of the game. Don't make it personal between you and the players. They have bats, you don't. Good advice. And finally, thou shalt remember the children. Not a bad metaphor for all of us. No matter what you want to believe about role models, the children are watching and listening. They hear what you say and see what you do. Be aware of it when you sit in the stands. If you don't know whether you fit the bill, just ask yourself, would you want your best friend's kid sister or brother to sit next to you at the ball game, the game of life, etc.? Well, would you? Not a bad framework for an ethical decision. Well, Chris Sneed's 10 Commandments for Heckling really are a kind of blueprint for a social ethic. And I think that we have a lot of people in our lives that are extremely important to us. The people in our families. Can't pick those to whom you're born and with whom you live, but they are a part of your life. You do choose friends. In some respects, you choose colleagues as you choose a place of work. We also have deeply significant others in our lives. Spouses, lovers, close friends, and so on. Well, what are the rules for relating, for running along, if you will, for playing the game? Well, I would summarize the Ten Commandments of heckling into three sort of best pieces of advice I know for getting along with other people. First, be responsible for your own successes and failures. Acknowledge your own limits, celebrate your own successes, but be responsible. We have all done things that we wish we hadn't. It creates empathy. We've all learned something about ourselves in relationships, like when we were in ninth grade and we got dumped. Well, there was a reason for that. Well, the other person was a jerk. What else could it be? Well, wait a minute. There are things that we learn about how we relate that we can come to refine and understand in a more helpful way, that help us in the next relationship. And hopefully we get enough practice as adolescents and young adults that we can make it work with the love of our life when we find them. So first, acknowledge your own limits and responsibilities, even when things go haywire in a relationship, or you've just had a bad day with someone who loves you. Secondly, remember that the person with whom you are conversing, the person with whom you are about to argue, in other words, the guy you work with down the hall or some such thing, they are also children of God. Not people that you want to spend a lot of time with necessarily, but you have to acknowledge that if God created you and God created them, there's a level of kinship that goes beyond even what has happened. even if they have done something despicable in the line of work, even if they have caused you great pain and annoyance. That doesn't mean you can't redress it. Doesn't mean you shouldn't avoid it. But at least in the back of your mind, God created them too. He might have created them on Friday at 3 o'clock. We understand that. But nonetheless. And finally, it seems that I think one of the most important relationship lessons I've ever read, have ever heard, and in some ways have ever had the chance to experience, is that especially with the people most important to you, and we do have disagreements now and then with the people who are most important to us, don't hit the soft spot. The people you know the best, the people who you love the most, the people who love you the most, you know where the soft spots are in each other's lives, histories, emotions, psyches. Don't hit the soft spot, because as soon as you do, your having done that supersedes whatever issue that has been the case or was causing difficulty between you. Work it out without going for the jugular, because all you're going to do is wind up having to clean up blood, and then you'll still have the issue to deal with. Acknowledge your own strengths and limits. Remember God has created them too, and don't hit the soft spot. Those are the rules for running along, for playing the game. How do we know? How do we know how we're doing? Well, there's a poem that was written some time back by a guy named Grantland Rice that I think is as apt a summary of the life we have the opportunity to live and share with others. And again, he uses, oddly enough, a baseball metaphor. The poem is called Game Called. And I just want to read it at the end of this series of thoughts today. Game Called. Across the field of play, the dusk has come. The hour is late. The fight is done and lost or won. The player files out through the gate. The tumult dies. The cheer is hushed. The stands are bare. The park is still. But through the night there shines the light, home beyond the silent ill. Game called. We're in the golden light. The bugle rolled the reveille. The shadows creep where night falls deep. And taps has called the end of play. You can see that this is a metaphor. The game is done, the score is in, the final cheer and jeer have passed. But in the night, beyond the fight, the player finds his rest at last. Game called. Upon the field of life, the darkness gathers far and wide. The dream is done, the score is spun that stands forever in the guide. Nor victory, nor yet defeat is chalked against the player's name. But down the roll, the final scroll shows only how he played the game. Well, how do we play the game? We run along, living as though we knew it were true. The prize is ours, and we have it to share, one with another. Living with the Ten Commandments of heckling. Amen.